Give and Take, Why Helping Others Drives Our Success, by Adam Grant. The fourth element of success. According to conventional wisdom, highly successful people have three things in common: motivation, ability, and opportunity. Here's a fourth ingredient that is critical but often neglected. Success depends heavily on how we approach our interactions with other people. Every time we interact with another person at work, we have a choice to make. Do we try to claim as much value as we can or contribute value without worrying about what we receive in return? If you're a giver at work, you simply strive to be generous in sharing your time, energy, knowledge, skills, ideas, and connections with other people who can benefit from them. So if givers are most likely to land at the bottom of the success ladder, who's at the top? Takers or matchers? Neither. Givers dominate the bottom and the top of the success ladder. Understanding what makes giving both powerful and dangerous is the focus of Give and Take. Build networks a la three reciprocity styles. Givers and matchers often see networking as an appealing way to connect with new people and ideas. Givers' networking style stands in stark contrast to the way that takers and matchers tend to build and extract value from their connections. Givers give a lot more than they receive. Takers and matchers also give in the context of networks, but they tend to give strategically, with an expected personal return that exceeds or equals their contributions. Matchers tend to build smaller networks than either givers, who seek actively to help a wider range of people, or takers, who often find themselves expanding their networks to compensate for bridges burned in previous transactions. Takers and matchers make hard and fast assumptions about just who will be able to provide the most benefit in exchange. At its core, the giver approach extends a broader reach, and in doing so, enlarges the range of potential payoffs, even though those payoffs are not the motivating engine. Reciprocity styles for or against discovering potential. Spotting and cultivating talent are essential skills in just about every industry. It's difficult to overstate the value of surrounding ourselves with stars. When it comes to discovering the potential in others, reciprocity styles shape our approaches and effectiveness. Let's travel to a familiar territory and a well-established concept: teaching and the self-fulfilling prophecy. Teachers' beliefs create self-fulfilling prophecies. If teachers believe their students are bloomers, they set high expectations for their success. Matchers are better equipped to inspire self-fulfilling prophecies because they value reciprocity. When a peer or a subordinate demonstrates high potential, matchers respond in kind, going out of their way to support, encourage, and develop their promising colleagues and direct reports. But the matcher's mistake lies in waiting for signs of high potential. Givers don't wait for signs of potential because they tend to be trusting and optimistic about other people's intentions. In their roles as leaders, managers, and mentors, givers are inclined to see the potential in everyone. By default, givers start by viewing people as bloomers, by recognizing that anyone can be a bloomer. Givers focus their attention on motivation. Paths to influence: the power of powerless communication. Research suggests that there are two fundamental paths to influence: dominance and prestige. When we establish dominance, we gain influence, because others see us as strong, powerful, and authoritative. When we earn prestige, we become influential because others respect and admire us. When our audiences are skeptical, the more we try to dominate them, the more they resist. Even with a receptive audience, dominance is a zero-sum game. The more power and authority I have, the less you have. When takers come across someone more dominant, they're at risk of losing their influence. Conversely, prestige isn't zero-sum. There's no limit to the amount of respect and admiration that we can dole out. This means that prestige usually has more lasting value, and it's worth examining how people earn it. Presenting with vulnerability. Takers tend to worry that revealing weaknesses will compromise their dominance and authority. Givers are much more comfortable expressing their vulnerability. They're interested in helping others, not gaining power over them, so they're not afraid of exposing chinks in their armor. By making themselves vulnerable, givers can actually build prestige. But here's a twist: expressing vulnerability is only effective if the audience receives other signals establishing the speaker's competence. Selling with questions. Givers are the top sellers, and a key reason is powerless communication. Asking questions is a form of powerless communication that givers adopt naturally. Questions work especially well when the audience is already skeptical of your influence, such as when you lack credibility or status, or when you're in a highly competitive negotiation situation. By asking questions and getting to know their customers, givers build trust and gain knowledge about their customers' needs. Over time, this makes them better and better at selling. Alternative negotiation: seeking advice. Advice seeking is a form of powerless communication that combines expressing vulnerability asking questions, and talking tentatively. When we ask others for advice, we're posing a question that conveys uncertainty and makes us vulnerable. Instead of confidently projecting that we have all the answers, we're admitting that others might have superior knowledge. As a result, takers and matchers tend to shy away from advice seeking. From a taker's perspective, asking for advice means acknowledging that you don't have all the answers. Matchers hold back on advice seeking for a different reason. They might owe something in return. Self-interest versus other interest. Why some givers burn out while others are on fire. Success involves more than just capitalizing on strengths of giving. It also requires avoiding the pitfalls. If people give too much time, they end up making sacrifices for their calibrators and network ties at the expense of their own energy. The consequence, givers end up exhausted and unproductive. Two key motivations are self-interest and other interest. Self-interest involves pursuing power and achievement, whereas other interest focuses on being generous and helpful. Takers score high in self-interest and low in other interest. They aim to maximize their own success without much concern for other people. By contrast, givers always score high on other interest, but they vary in self-interest. There are two types of givers, and they have dramatically different success rates. Selfless givers are people with high other interest and low self-interest. They give their time and energy without regard for their own needs, and they pay a price for it. Selfless giving is a form of pathological altruism, which is defined by researcher Barbara Oakley as an unhealthy focus on others to the detriment of one's own needs, such that, in the process of trying to help others, givers end up harming themselves, saving the giver from becoming a doormat. Becoming a doormat is the giver's worst nightmare. Another-ish approach enables givers to escape the trap of being too trusting by becoming highly flexible and adaptable in their reciprocity styles. Other-ish style helps givers sidestep the landmines of being too empathetic and too timid by repurposing some skills that come naturally to them. To avoid getting scammed or exploited, it's critical to distinguish the genuine givers from the takers and fakers. Givers have an instinctive advantage in sincerity screening. Givers are more attentive to others' behaviors and more attuned to their thoughts and feelings, which makes it possible to pick up more clues, such as describing successes with first-person singular pronouns, like I and me, instead of us and we. Givers also gain a sincerity screening advantage from habitually trusting others, which creates opportunities to see the wide range of behaviors of which other people are capable. Advocacy and a relational account. To overcome timidity that withholds givers from asking to get what they deserve, like a better salary or compensation package, for instance, givers can resort to a combination of advocacy and relational account. With advocacy, a giver gives about herself as speaking on behalf of another group. A relational account is an explanation for a request that highlights concern for the interest of others, not only oneself. Givers worry about violating their own reciprocity preferences. If they push too hard, they'll feel like takers rather than givers. But when givers are advocating for someone else, pushing is closely aligned with their values of protecting and promoting the self-interest of others. Givers can chalk it up to caring. And by offering relational accounts, givers do more than just think of themselves as agents advocating for others. They present themselves as agents advocating for others, which is a powerful way to maintain their self-images and social images as givers. The definition of success. In the mind of a giver, the definition of success itself takes on a distinctive meaning, whereas takers view success as attaining results that are superior to others, and matchers see success in terms of balancing individual accomplishments with fairness to others. Givers are inclined to characterize success as individual achievements that have a positive impact on others. Taking this definition of success seriously might require dramatic changes in the way that organizations hire, evaluate, reward, and promote people. It would mean paying attention not only to the productivity of the individual, but also to the ripple effects of this productivity on others. If we broadened our image of success to include contributions to others along with individual accomplishments, people might be motivated to tilt their professional reciprocity styles toward giving. If success required benefiting others, it is possible that takers and matchers would be more inclined to find other-ish ways to advance personal and collective interests simultaneously.